Let's read together Hosea chapter 1. In this first chapter of Hosea, the Lord directs the prophet Hosea to do a most unusual thing. The Lord told Hosea to marry a woman who would become a prostitute. Now, why would the Lord do something like that? Well, stay tuned. We'll see why. Let's read the first 9 verses of the chapter. The word of the Lord that came to Hoshi, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take for yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, "Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen." Now when she had reigned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, "Call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." Let's begin our study of the prophecy of Hosea now with some background notes. Hosea is the first of the minor prophets in our Bibles. There are 4 major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And then there are 12 minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, what do we mean by minor prophets anyway? What's the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet? Were the minor prophets less spiritual than the major prophets? No. It has to do with the size of their books. The minor prophets are smaller books as far as volume goes. Now, we see from verse 1 that Hosea's ministry was during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. This would be Jeroboam the second of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, just a little historical background here to bring you up to date. After the days of kings Saul, David, and Solomon, the united kingdom of Israel split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Although kings from both nations are mentioned here in verse 1, we will see that Hosea's ministry was primarily directed to the northern kingdom of Israel, sometimes called Ephraim by Hosea, because Ephraim was the largest and most prominent tribe in the northern kingdom. In verse 2, we read that the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry." Now, why would the Lord ask Hosea to do such a thing? Well, it soon becomes obvious in this book of Scripture that Hosea's marriage to Gomer, that was her name, is an illustration of God's marriage to his people Israel. And as Gomer turned away from Hosea's love and committed physical adultery, so Israel turned away from God's love and committed spiritual adultery. They committed spiritual adultery by getting involved with the foreign gods, with the gods of foreign nations. Now, the big question here is whether Gomer was a prostitute before Hosea married her, or whether she became a prostitute after he married her. Now, my own position here is that she became a prostitute after Hosea married her. In other words, the statement of verse 2 is proleptic. That is, it is written in view of what Gomer would become. Illustration. I might say to you this morning that I would like you to say hello to Maurice and Arlene Martin, travelers of the Holy Land. Well, wait a minute. The Martins haven't been to the Holy Land yet, but they are going to go in the near future. So I'm making my statement, you see, in anticipation of an event that will take place in the future. With Gomer becoming a prostitute after the marriage, it better illustrates the relationship between God and Israel. You see, there was the honeymoon period between God and Israel when God chose the descendants of Abraham as his special people, and he redeemed them out of Egypt, and they were true to him at first. But as Gomer turned away from Hosea's love after the marriage, so Israel turned away from God's love after the redemption out of Egypt and after that initial honeymoon period. And it wasn't too long after the honeymoon period. You remember the golden calf incident, etc. Well, so much for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Hosea chapter 1. Doctrinal point number one. Israel turned away from God's love in the past. Israel turned away from God's love in the past. In verses 3 through 8, we see that Hosea did as God directed him and married Gomer. Now, exactly at what point Gomer turned away and committed adultery, we don't know for sure. The first son that was born was definitely Hosea's, as we see in verse 3. Gomer conceived and bore him a son. However, we can't be sure whether or not the next two children were Hosea's. Remember, verse 2 said, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry." In any case, Hosea named all three children and considered them as part of his family. The important point here about the naming of the children is that God told Hosea what to name them, and all three names have meaning and are part of the overall illustration of the relationship between God and his people Israel. The name of the firstborn was Jezreel, verses 4 and 5. The name Jezreel means God sows or God scatters. The point is that God would scatter the northern kingdom of Israel in judgment for their sins. There were no good kings in the northern kingdom of Israel. Jehu, mentioned here, was one of those bad kings. God had used Jehu to put an end to the wicked reign of Ahab and Jezebel, but Jehu had gone too far in his bloodbath. The judgment of the northern kingdom of Israel in the valley of Jezreel, mentioned here, took place at the hands of the Assyrians, as Hosea predicted, in about 724 BC. And Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC. The second child was a daughter, and God said to name her Lo-Ruhamah, meaning unloved or unpitied. Verse 6, the point is that Israel had turned away from God's love. And as a result, Israel would be shown no mercy, but rather Israel would be judged and taken away. And this all came true at the hands of the Assyrians. But notice that mercy is extended to the southern kingdom of Judah in verse 7. The Assyrians, who conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, never fully conquered the southern kingdom of Judah. The Assyrians under Sennacherib came down and besieged Jerusalem, but God miraculously delivered King Hezekiah and the capital of Jerusalem. We read about this miracle three times in the Bible, 2 Kings 19 and 2 Chronicles 32, as well as Isaiah 37. In one night, the angel of the Lord struck down 185,000 Assyrian troops, and Jerusalem was spared. What a miracle. It took place in about 701 BC, right in line with Hosea's prophecy here in verse 7, that Judah would be spared. The third child was named Lo-Ami, meaning not my people. Verses 8 and 9. God said that he could not be their God, and they could not be his people if they turned away from his love. How sad. God will not force his love on anyone. Let me ask you this morning, have you turned away from God's love? God loved you enough to send his only son to die on the cross for your sins, but he will not force you to come into his family. And he cannot be your God if you turn away from his love. Don't be like Israel of old. Israel turned away from God's love. But now the good news, doctrinal point number two. Israel will turn back to God's love in the future. Israel will turn back to God's love in the future. Let's read verses 10 and 11. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. What a change of conditions we see here from the earlier part of the chapter. In a coming day, Israel will turn back to the Lord. Now, we don't believe these promises are to be spiritualized away to the church. They certainly can be extended to the Gentiles who have believed and have thus come under the covenant blessings of God. In fact, we see this taught in Romans chapter 9, where Paul quotes verse 10 here. But to say that these promises are completely fulfilled in the church and no longer apply to Israel is untenable. Israel is now a nation once again and is back in the land. They are already one nation, as verse 11 says. They are not two divided kingdoms as in the days of Hosea. And the Jews today represent all 12 tribes. There are no lost tribes. But what we see today is only a foretaste of what's to come. The Abrahamic covenant will be fulfilled. And the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. But better yet, a spiritual revival will take place in Israel. And notice here in these verses now, verses 10 and 11, that the names of Hosea's children reappear, but now in blessing. No longer unloved and unpitied. No longer not my people. And no longer Jezreel in the sense of scatter, but now in the sense of being sown in the land. This will be the great day of Jezreel when the Lord returns to be Israel's king. Israel will turn back to God's love in the future. What about practical application? Where are you in reference to God's love? Where are you in reference to God's love? This is certainly an appropriate application from Hosea chapter 1. Are you in God's family this morning? Do you know God's love? Or have you turned away from God's love? Have you turned to God and experienced his love? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a lot of love, isn't it? You can know that love of God if you turn to the Lord Jesus and receive him as your personal Savior. Where are you in reference to God's love?